Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Woo! Going all in. Welcome to church. Welcome, welcome. If you're looking for a church, we recommend Gateway Life Church to you if you're here today. And I'm saying that now before I preach in case you change your mind after the message. So, but here we are in 2020, halfway through January already. What if our 2020 to-do list looked like this? Number one, listen to God. Number two, do what He says no matter what. Number three, trust Him at all costs, whatever the outcome. And number four, Lord, help me to live this way by faith every day. See, so many of us set specific goals, don't we, at the start of a new year. And goals are good. They're helpful. Sometimes they're very necessary. But I believe any and every goal that we set can be filtered through that checklist that I just read to you. And, you know, what about if rather than fixating on a specific long-term goal, because the goal is it's out there, there's many steps to be taken toward the goal, and it can be very overwhelming. So why not think about the values that you and I need to have that will enhance our development toward the goal and our progress. For example, do I value health, my community, my faith, financial freedom? If I do, then daily I'll make decisions in line with those values that align with my goals. For example, if you and I, or if I, value kindness, in order to live in a kinder world, then I will need to actually make the decision in singular moments, to spread and amplify that kindness by harnessing the power of every single moment in my day, by making simple yet deliberate decisions and changes to the way that I interact with others, by showing awareness and empathy and following spontaneous impulses to help others, then that will help me be kinder. Do you realize, church, that many of life's greatest opportunities and their God-given opportunities, as people that believe in God, we believe that every opportunity that comes, we filter it through being a God-given opportunity for us. Some of life's greatest God-given opportunities look like spontaneously helping. They can look like inconvenience. They can look like plan B. They can be uncomfortable or daunting or not my thing or not my preference. Or they can simply look small or insignificant at the time that they present. They can look like the opportunity to go all in the face of fear or uncertainty. The gift that God gives you and I is this. God gives us the opportunity, whatever that looks like at the time. And what we do with that opportunity is our gift to Him. Here's an example that I heard about that blew my mind recently in the bushfires. It's a spontaneous, small start example. Has anyone heard of Celeste Barber? Anyone heard of her? Okay, so she's just an everyday, I'm not saying this to put her down, this is what she says about herself. She's an everyday housewife, she's a mum of kids, average Australian woman. And so she started taking off, making parodies of celebrities like Kim Kardashian and Victoria Beckham, of their poses, Instagram poses, and she would copy them, parody them, and they're funny because she doesn't look like those girls, and so she copies their poses. And she's become a YouTube sensation. Now, I'm going to pause there for a moment, talking about selfies, okay, because I want to bring a point here. So while we're on the subject, just briefly, of selfies, young people, are you listening? Okay. Anyone can strike a pose. I didn't do it very well. I'm not very good at this.
Hey.
and stick out the A's and do the fish pout. But seriously, what value does that add to your life? What value does that add to your life? What does it prove? Anyway, back to Celeste Barber. She does it for a living, but she does it not for self-promotion. She actually does it as a parody. So this Celeste Barber, her family was somewhere in Australia. I'm not sure of the location, but their community was really seriously threatened by the bushfires. And so she thought, I want to help them, my family and that small community. So she just put up a Facebook page of people to fund donations for the bushfire. So it ends up becoming, it becomes so big, it is now standing at the largest Facebook GoFundMe page ever in Facebook's history. It has now hit $50 billion and counting. She just wanted to help her family initially, this average housewife, and it ends up becoming so big that Facebook had to bring in the big guns to actually sort out all this money as to how they're actually going to handle it and distribute it. So it's a pretty amazing small start, spontaneous example there. I really want to encourage you this year, church, to find your cadence and your courage for this new decade of 2020. Your cadence, I need Quinny on the drums, like, you know that We Will Rock You beat? Your cadence is your rhythm, it's your groove. Do you know that life has a rhythm? Life has a rhythm, earth turns in a rhythm, your pulse has a rhythm, your heart beats, the blood around your body in a rhythm. God has made rhythm. God made rhythm, brother. God actually made rhythm. And I liken it to a skipping rope. And you know when you're waiting, when at school we used to love it, two people would stand on either end of the long skipping rope and we'd play skippy. And you're waiting, the rope's turning and you're waiting to jump in. You're waiting for that right rhythm so that you can jump in and find your step. But once you do jump in, it's the cost of hesitation means we don't step in when we're supposed to. When we don't move into that all in when we're supposed to. We're waiting. But when you jump into the skipping rope and you actually start to skip, you find your rhythm, you get in sync so that you don't trip. Again, your cadence, your rhythm can be applied to every area of your life. So, for example, even myself, I work at the salon, but I also teach exercise classes and I teach Pilates. And so for me, getting up at 4:30 or 5 had to become I had to learn a new rhythm of getting up that early. And it wasn't easy at first, especially in the winter. Summer's okay, but you're getting up in the dark. And so I found this cadence, this rhythm, and now it doesn't worry me. In fact, I wake up before the alarm, which is great because I hate that of the clock radio. So if I wake up before it, it's a win. So turn it off and I'm up for the day. So your cadence, your rhythm can be applied to every area of your life. Does your faith life have a good cadence, a strong cadence? Does your commitment, does your serving, does your giving, does your loving, does your engaging before and after service with others have a good, strong cadence, a rhythm? Does your prayer life have a good cadence? Anyone seen Jumanji 2? It's a really funny movie. It's worth seeing, Hixie. It's a good one. But I saw some interviews with Kevin Hart, and in that movie, he has to take off the voice of Danny Glover. And so I saw this interview with Kevin Hart where he said that he studied the cadence of Danny Glover's speech. He just watched it and watched it and watched it until he got it down pat. And if you see the movie, he does the most outstanding job at taking off Danny Glover. It's really quite amazing. He studied the cadence of speech. Do you know your speech has a cadence? Having a good, strong cadence helps us to stay all in, on track and in rhythm. When you are all in regarding God's purposes, then you won't be waiting for a Sunday only to come and get your fix of church, your pep up for the week, to then go out and be about your own business and your own interests during the week only. Watch what God will do, church, when we live a life fully surrendered to Him, when we're all in. Don't hold back anything. He is worthy of all. He is worthy of all. Never underestimate what God can do as we take each God-given opportunity, even when it seems like we've only got a few loaves and a few fish to work with. Honour the moment that you are in and give it your God-given best. Amen. Give it your God-given best. We've been hearing All In is our theme, and we've been hearing some great messages. Mark Waite preached the first one, and it was great. I listened to the podcast, and he spoke about salvation is the starting point for being all in, which is so true. We need to receive Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then before you leave today, we want to give you that amazing opportunity. That's the best all in you can ever do. And then Pastor Jason brought out the water gun pistol last week, the super soaker, and he spoke about, I loved it how he broke down all in into being, what is your next step? What is your next step to being all in? That was really great. But I'm entitling my message today, All In, of course. Subtitle, It's Time. Subtitle, Find Your Cadence Rhythm. Because, you know, I believe that all in is actually an attitude. It's a mindset. It's a cadence, a rhythm. It's an action requiring courage. And courage requires persistence. You know, being all in doesn't mean maybe what you think it does. It doesn't mean saying yes to everything, but rather I have found it's saying no, 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 thank you very much, not anymore, to certain things that don't serve me, that don't produce fruit in my life anymore, or perhaps they never ever did. Or perhaps they're simply unimportant on the path of my values and goals and God's call upon my life. Being all in also doesn't mean you won't have low times. Yeah. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean we're all in all the time. Woo, we're like on Red Bull. I'm all in. Woohoo. It doesn't mean that either. Okay. And who says we are supposed to be on top all the time anyway? Right. Who says that is the way it's supposed to be? We are supposed to experience highs and lows, ebbs and flows, that is called life on the earth. Overcomers are supposed to have something to overcome. Then when we overcome, we feel the high of the victory because of Christ. And that is the way that life is. Can I burst your bubble this morning? But not really. I'm not really bursting your bubble. It's actually really encouraging when you understand that. It's actually an encouraging statement to understand that it's impossible until we're in heaven to never have ebbs and flows. Remember that Jesus himself felt weary, discouraged at times and alone. His disciples let him down. You know, they were the 12. But they still let him down at times. We must learn to ride the wave of emotions. Ride on top of it, though. Don't sink below. Ride the wave of emotions, feelings, and circumstances, and understand that they will come and they will go, but they will pass. We want to stay in faith and stay in the faith. Can I encourage you, stay in faith and stay in the faith. It's in these times, actually, okay, it's in these times of the ebb and the flow that we need to stay. It's vital to stay all in at these times. Vital. To stay all in at these times. Do you know it's actually our protection? It's actually our protection, and it's important to stay in cadence and in rhythm and courage and persistence and persistently pursue what we know is good and right and true in these times when every other thought or voice in your head is telling you otherwise, is telling you why would you stay all in? Why would you stay in cadence? It's very important at these times when we're being tempted otherwise and to do otherwise. So what perhaps this year do you need, or me, do I need, to finish that I started last year or that you started last year? Is there something that you need to see through to completion or to start afresh? If so, you can do it. You can do it. We're cheering each other on. Ali, the Holy Spirit put you on my heart. I don't want to embarrass you, but I really felt, and we were talking before service, but that just happened. God already put you on my heart before we spoke this morning. But just with that, it's time. I really felt the Holy Spirit highlight your name to me that this year it's time, Ali. It's time to rise up and be the woman of God that God has called you to be. And despite a man or the lack of or one in your life or not, God is calling you to rise up and also in your vocation, in your study, rise up, finish it, finish well. God is with you. You can do it. And the Holy Spirit really put you on my heart to just speak that in your life and over your life, Ali. Really believe in you. Great job this morning. Good to see you back up here again. It's awesome. So once we find our rhythm and our cadence, there's a joy and a satisfaction in rising above any anxiety or anything that has been stopping you from achieving that completed task. We've got to find our rhythm, our rhythm, our rhythm. Catastrophism, however you say it, will tell you the world is flat, you're going to fall off. When you're experiencing turbulence on a plane, which is terrible, isn't it? It's not very nice. But when you're on a plane and you're experiencing turbulence, you don't jump off the plane. You don't jump off the plane, do you? No. You sit there and you know that it will pass. Can I assure you, the earth is round and continually turning. You will not fall off. And this being whatever it is that you're experiencing or anything that's stopping you from going all in, taking that next step, it will pass. It will pass. Now, I'm sure you've heard of IQ. Have you heard of IQ? Your intelligent quotient. And we've heard of EQ, your emotional quotient. I love EQ. I'm big on it. I look for it. But there's another Q that we can develop in order to continue to develop and grow. And it's called AQ. AQ, your adaptability quotient. The adaptability quotient is the ability to adjust course, product, service or strategy in response to changes. A measure of adaptability is an abstract concept that measures the extent to which someone is able to adapt. Wow. You see, the goal or the goals that you and I have, they're not the problem. They're not the problem. I really struggled with sharing this because, you know, God is just already dealing with this in me, I can tell you. But the goal isn't the problem, right? It's a good goal, hopefully. It's a good goal. I've had some awesome goals, things I wish to achieve. The problem is this. What will I have to leave behind to get to the goal? What will I have to let go of to get to the goal? The goal itself is freaking awesome, but how am I going to get there when it's over there and I'm over here? It's the gap between where I currently am and the goal that where I want to be that is my problem. Is that your problem or is it just me? Most of the time, as Pastor Bala would say, that is the problem. You and I are going to need to have some great values, persistence, a good, strong cadence, AQ, adaptability quotient, to get to the goal. When I know where I am going, and when you know where you are going, I won't take with me what I don't need. So don't load your bag. We don't want to load up our bag with things we don't need. For example, you don't take your Kathmandu $300 coat to Hawaii because you don't need it there. We need to learn how to refine with precision our lives down to exactly what it is that we need to take with us when we're pressing towards what we know is right. I think someone great in the Bible talks about that, don't they, about pressing on? Perhaps it was Paul. I think so. Someone better than me said it first. Don't underestimate the pull. Don't underestimate the pull against you when you're trying to break through. The law of gravity, the pull, the opposing force, the equal and opposite reaction that Isaac Newton spoke about, discovered in any progression onwards and upwards, is real. The pull is real. We have to fight the gravitational pull that wants to pull us back to where we came from. Allow me to demonstrate. Thank you, Meg. So, this is my $2 special Target hula hoop. Thank you. And it was $2, and it was in a box when I bought it, so I didn't know that it was this big, and I didn't know that it's actually weighted. It's quite heavy. It's not like your normal hula hoop. And I was with Anna in Target, and it was reduced to $2, and I said to Anna, I wonder if I can still hula hoop. And she goes, why don't you buy it, Mum? And I said, no, I'm not going to buy it. She goes, oh, it's $2. I'll buy it for you. She was very generous that day. So this is my Target special. So Pastor Jason wanted me to get rid of it. And he said, you're a whippet. You can never hula hoop that. So I'm going to have to put the phone down for this. So in order for me to be able to move this hula hoop, it's weighted, okay? I think I better come down. That's it. But in order for me to be able to do it, it's weighted, it's heavy. I had to go faster and I had to go harder to be able to keep the hula hoop up. So we need to go faster, we need to go harder. The runway, if you like, from the pull to keep us back where we are is our courage, our persistence, our cadence in Christ, in life, in faith. Let me read to you an article written by Nikki Davies. She's a counsellor slash psychologist. It's something that I want to read, thank you, Jess, word for word, because I don't want to miss anything. She talks about courage. Courage involves persistence in the face of danger or hardship, as we draw on courage to effect some kind of change. We tap into different types of courage in various contexts for a particular situation. For example, public speaking. There's different types. There's moral courage. There's physical courage. But she talks in this article about psychological courage. It refers to the strength that we have to confront the truth about ourselves, our behaviours, and to act where required to elicit change. This kind of courage involves facing our deep-seated fear of acknowledging and accepting our faults and vulnerabilities, confronting the fact that we all behave badly at times, we all have blind spots, as well as unproductive habits that impact our physical, emotional, and psychological well-being. It is the kind of courage required to acknowledge and accept the dissonance, which I was talking about, or the gap between where we are now, between who we think we are and who we actually are. Ouch. The difference between our ideal self and our actual self. So we all need courage to look at not only, this is me speaking now, that was the end of that quote, which I found very, very, very convicting. We all need the courage to look at not only our external goals, not to look at those alone, but the internal changes that must shift for us to be truly changed into the likeness of Christ from the inside out. And just perhaps this truly looks like the kind of all-in fruit in our lives that Christ is looking for in 2020 from us. How grateful, though, we are that we don't do it alone or in our own strength, but Christ is able to make all grace abound to us. I've got that scripture there in 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things and may abound to every good work." Thank God for that. And in Philippians 1:6, he says he will complete the good work that he has begun in you. Don't let that article that I just read discourage you, but remember that God will complete the good work that he has begun in us as we cooperate with his Holy Spirit. Our job is to cooperate and go back to that all-in checklist that I started with at the start of my message, running everything by that checklist. When Pastor Jason first mentioned the theme of All In for 2020, the very first scripture that came to my mind was one my mum used to use a lot when I was growing up in church, especially in the women's ministry meetings. And she would say, a quote from Colossians 3:23, that whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That was the first scripture that came to mind when I began to think what it means to be all in. That in whatever we do, we do it heartily as unto the Lord. Mum would use the example of washing socks. I don't know why. Who washes socks anyway? They go in the machine. But she would say, there is joy in washing the socks. Do it as unto the Lord. Give it your best, even if you're only washing the socks. And I used to think, is she for real? What is she talking about? But I actually now get what she meant when she would talk about that scripture in that way. If applied in that way, this scripture will help us overcome any task with a great attitude. Remember, all in is an attitude, a mindset. This scripture reminds us that no matter what we're doing, if we apply ourselves wholeheartedly to it, as if we're doing it actually to God first and for him, not only will we do a better job, but also we'll have God's help, God's blessing and God's help upon that task. At the end of my message now, I'm just going to go through some of the scriptures that demonstrate all in. So another example I love is found in Acts 4:32 to 35, where all the people of God brought everything that they had in common. They all brought what they had to meet every need that was in the community and in the house of God. Everyone just brought whatever they had. If there was a need, everyone had search their houses and just bring it and meet every need for their community. A perfect example of all in action. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes being all in will require sacrificial giving. It will require selflessness. It will require giving not just of your money, but of your time, maybe your spare time, maybe your day off. Sometimes you may even use all your energy engaging or your mental or physical energy helping others. But isn't this what Jesus exemplified for us? This is what Jesus often did. And as Tegan and I have often spoken about, life in general will make you tired. Life will make you tired. So we may as well be engaged and be a healthy tired, engaged using our time and efforts wisely, and being diligent, using those God-given opportunities, serving God and other people, and in our vocation, what God has called us to do. Remember, going all in won't look the same for you as it will for me. A perfect example of this is the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read it today because of time. But the parable of the talents clearly shows us that we're all given a different number of talents to use. The man that was given 5 talents, he gave the same return as the one that was given 10. Both gave 100-fold in return. The man that was given 1 didn't return anything. That's the point. He didn't do anything at all. But their starting places were all very different. This is such an encouraging story for us because it shows us that it doesn't matter what you start with, or where you start from, or how much you even initially have or are given, but that God is simply looking for a return. God is just simply looking for fruit. In the Gospels, this is the last story and I'm finishing. there's a great story of all in. This is the story of Jesus healing the paralytic. Now, that doesn't mean he had too much to drink. He was actually couldn't walk, okay? No one laughed. That was a dad joke. So in Mark 2, 1 to 12, it says the story. And so Jesus entered Capernaum, and there were many people gathered there, so that there was no longer room to receive him there, any more people in the room, not even near the door. The place was packed. Jesus was preaching. It was packed out, full crowd. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. So these friends with the paralytic friend saw they couldn't get their friend through to Jesus. So they took the roof off the building and they let the bed down to where Jesus was, right in front of Jesus. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And it goes on, he gets healed. He takes up his bed and he walks out of the room. And this is a powerful story. For many reasons, Jesus chooses to prove his ability in this parable as well to forgive sins as well as heal by his word alone. But what about the all-in faith of those friends? That's pretty extreme. That's pretty radical. They take the roof off the building. They did whatever it took to get their friend in to see Jesus. I wonder if you and I have that kind of all-in tenacity in our evangelism. Are we willing to take the roof off to get some friends into church? Are we willing to pick them up? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? I don't know about you, but I'm quite convicted about that story. So again, they receive their miracle by going the extra mile. What a great cadence. What a great rhythm those friends had. What great courage. What great persistence to do that. So again, as I close, church, watch and see what God can do when we have this all-in kind of faith and tenacity. I want to encourage you that we're better together. We're cheering each other on in this. We're cheering each other on in our next step. We're cheering each other on in this new decade. Can I encourage you to stay faithful, stay bold, stay courageous, stay loyal, stay steadfast, stay resolute, stay focused, stay humble, stay grateful, stay persistent, stay courageous, stay in cadence, stay committed, stay in awe of Jesus and all that he can do. So I'm just going to invite the band to come up right now, and I want to pray that, Lord, as this word has gone forth today, that it would convict us and challenge us, Lord. Help us to find our cadence if we've lost it. Help us to stay in cadence in Jesus' name. And I just want to share with you, just as I close, and as Pastor Jason brings us to that fantastic point in the service where we give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got in the salon this beautiful old man. His name is Bob, and he can barely walk up the stairs. The salon is up a flight of stairs, and I can hear him coming. Takes him about 10 minutes to get up the stairs. He's 75, and he's a Christian man, and he's so beautiful. And he, up until recently, he was still going in and vacuuming the church at 75. Every week, and he was painting the roof of the church. He got up on a ladder and he was painting the roof of the church. Anyway, I was doing his hair last week and he was telling me about his testimony, how he came to know Jesus. And he said that when him and his wife, he's not with his wife any longer and she's no longer in the faith. But when they had kids, he decided that maybe they should take the kids to be confirmed, and so he took them to church. And he said to me, he's a born-again Christian now, but the start of his journey was bringing his kids to church because he thought that they should be confirmed and baptised in the church. And he said to me, "Trina," and he's so sincere, he makes me cry, you know. And he said, "Trina, I went to church to take my kids to church, but when I heard the gospel, when I heard that Jesus died for my sins and he forgave me of my sins, I could never go back. I could never leave him. I could never leave." And he's 75 and he's just such an inspiring man. I hope that I have faith like that when when I'm that age and beyond, because he's such a beautiful man with a beautiful heart. And the sincerity that he said that to me with was just heart-melting. So I want to leave you with that as I hand over to Pastor Jason. And, you know, once you hear that Jesus loves you, once you know that he is the way, the truth and the life, there is no going back. Don't jump off the plane. Stay seated, and God will meet you at your point of need today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. We hope you were equipped, encouraged, and empowered. To stay engaged or to learn more about us, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. We hope to see you soon.